Well, we could really say that belief in phenomena is mental illness. So that kind of broadens the definition, doesn't it? And we don't have to target people who just have certain kinds of points of view as mentally ill. We can all just look at ourselves and see to what degree we're believing in the power, significance, and importance of points of view that are appearing within our awareness. And so it's a major step to not get involved in conceptual complications as a reference point for one's reality. And that can't be done through any kind of intellectual means. It can be understood somewhat intellectually, but it's really only experientially that one can come to understand that there is something about us that is beyond all of the conceptual elaborations like emotions, intellect, sensations, and experiences. Whether it's the experience of ourselves or of other people, places, and things. Now, if we never hear about this, we don't even know it's possible. We don't know that there is an underlying foundation or basis, a natural intelligence that is the intelligence of nature itself, that is really the basis of all of our perceptions, including the perception of ourselves. And whether you call it simply the way it is, or an evolutionary leap, or whatever you might call it, nevertheless, there is a pristine intelligence that is exhibited in our own awareness, demonstrated by our own awareness. That's the crucial juncture with that intelligence of nature. And when we familiarize ourselves with that intelligence, then we aren't compelled or impelled by all the points of view that appear within it. To simplify the nature of existence to the degree where it's within the reach of everyone to understand that is, it's truly amazing. And either one will hear the basic cosmology or philosophy of the intelligence of nature and how it exhibits itself as awareness in human beings. Either people will just hear that and get it, or people can grow confident in it by simply resting as awareness without the need to alter what appears within awareness. This is a real departure from what most of us have learned, because most of us have learned to define our existence based on descriptive frameworks. And so we're constantly grabbing for some kind of conceptual elaboration or complication to, or framework to describe what's appearing. And we're looking for some kind of fixed description of reality that we can count on. And so we desperately seek from one point of view to the other, like the little game of connecting the dots, to try to find that fixed reference point that's going to make us feel okay. And we do that incessantly unless we know that there's something else. It gets to be so ingrained that we believe it's normal, incessantly seeking for a fixed reference point that we can count on. And so actually we live in a state of constant disappointment, whether we're conscious of that or not. Constantly looking for anything at all that's going to be a fixed reference point that we can count on, like an emotional state or a state of intellectual brilliance, or what, just simple intellectual well-being, or sensations that are of a certain kind, or experiences that are of a certain kind. And so we live our lives, many of us, as a constant demand for this fixed reference point, and because it can never be found, simply because it doesn't exist, we're in a state of constant disappointment. And we're always expecting that there's going to be some kind of reference point that we can count on, this one or that one. And we look for it in all manner of ways. We look for it in people. We want people, our friends or family, our targeted loved ones, to provide us some kind of satisfaction or fulfillment. And whether we're conscious of this or not, we're continually disappointed by them. They can never fill this bottomless pit of need for a fixed reference point. It's impossible. Whether they're our children or our significant other, they can never, ever meet this need. They will never be able to do it right sufficiently. And so that's quite a burden to place on another human being. Now, either through getting it by just hearing about the cosmology and philosophy of native intelligence that exhibits itself in human awareness, or by resting as that awareness, either way, one can come to complete conviction about the nature of one's own being and everything else. And basically the nature of one's being and everything else is that no phenomenon whatsoever has an independent nature. Not a single one. Not the perception you have of yourself or anything else. So you see, there's no experience to be had by anyone, and no context for that experience, nor is there a destination of getting to a certain state or anyone going there. So to even apply a fixed reference point to some kind of state that will be arrived at is completely foolhardy. There's only awareness here and now. That's it. A single state of evenness, a single reality of evenness here and now. There's nothing else that we can prove about anything. And if we try to prove that, there's nothing that can measure that. At least not currently. And so, what to do? Just relax. And know that everything is as it is. The roiling thoughts, emotions, sensations, experiences, whatever they are, They are just whatever they are. And it's impossible to change them or get them into any kind of skill set that you can count on. It's completely impossible. So why continue to try? They will just be whatever they are. Just the moment you think that you're in some kind of refined state that's really wonderful and filled with just the right emotions, thoughts, and sensations, it'll be ripped away by the here and now. And the here and now will present itself as disturbing emotions, sensations, and thoughts. And this is just the way it is. Our thoughts, sensations, and experiences are adventitious. And that word means circumstantial. It's the circumstantial appearance of nature's intelligence as whatever it is. And so there isn't anyone to do anything about that. It's unique to human experience that we can be aware of and understand that process. And the only way we can really be fully aware of and understand that process is by our own experience, by being confident that awareness is the basis of all that experience, that a self-aware, pure space that is intelligent is the only basis of all that experience, whatever it is. And so to the degree that we can do that, whether it's just a little bit or a lot, and when I say do that, I mean just allow the indwelling confidence of that to be the case, then to that degree, whatever it is, we feel more relaxed in life. And we feel and sense more of a basic goodness to nature itself and to ourselves as participants in nature. It's just the way it is. And so to the degree that we realize that we are caring, we're caring of ourselves and others. And this just comes about naturally, because when we see that we're really powerless over our circumstances of thoughts, emotions, sensations, and experiences, that there's really no individual who is a fixed entity that can have power over these things. They spontaneously occur. They just spontaneously occur. And even if we can neutralize them or think that we've gotten them into some kind of state that we can count on, something's going to come up and it won't be that way anymore. You won't be able to feel that they are neutralized or controlled. And once again, you'll be faced with complete powerlessness. And what has complete powerlessness is the idea that there is an individual somebody who is the mastermind over thoughts, emotions, sensations, and experiences. That individual someone is a byproduct of nature's intelligence. It's a byproduct of awareness, so to speak. It never is a definitive phenomenon that has any kind of power to control nature. You see, that's absurd. We'd never say, oh yes, I have the power to control nature. All we have the power to do is gain the perspective of nature. And in that, we become truly powerful. And again, whether we do that a little or a lot will be markedly less disappointed. Now yesterday was Valentine's Day. Now there's a day with high expectations, right? We want to do the right thing, and we hope and subtly demand that others will do the right thing by us. And so, you know, that's a good example, isn't it? We want to hear from certain of our loved ones, and we want them to shower us with attention in one way or another. And if they don't, there's that gnawing of disappointment. Oh, it didn't happen the way that I hoped it would. And, you know, whether it's our kids or our significant others, our friends, or just what we expect from the day itself, that hearts and flowers will rain down on us. And at last we'll feel the spirit of Valentine. This is just kind of a silly, kind of absurd example, but we all get it, don't we? Huh? Now, the thing about resting is awareness and growing confident, and really the only thing we can count on. The intelligence of nature itself is that we will find ourselves more and more capable of loving ourselves and loving other people, and finally we'll reach a point where we don't need anything from anyone else. We don't need anything from anyone else because we know that there's nothing anyone else can give us. We simply abide in a state of what you could call pure love, where there aren't any expectations or demands placed on anyone else for anything. And, you know, we might even have the thought, well, this pure love, it just doesn't have any kind of need for anything. It just is as it is. And this is what nature's intelligence is. It's an all-inclusive intelligence. It doesn't need to have phenomenon working in any one way. It inherently knows without knowing anything that everything is itself. That there really aren't any phenomena at all. It just all is nature's intelligence. Everything is its self-display, and you could call that an embrace of complete love if you wanted to. Just the very basic goodness and love that we are. And this is what we're all looking for. When we're seeking for fixed reference points, we're looking for that. And so we reach a point where we really don't care whether anyone can exhibit love to us or not. It's not germane any longer. It just isn't. Everything is simply the spontaneous release of the here and now. There's nothing to grab onto in that spontaneous release of the here and now. There's nothing at all to grab onto. There's no expectation to be fulfilled. And so when we grow confidence in the way things really are, rather than the way we wish they would be, then we move beyond this constant seeking for a fixed reference point and then disappointment that it doesn't come about. It's no longer part of our lives. And even if thoughts are emotions come up related to that, they have no pull. They have no push. They can't get to us in any way. They're just adventitious appearances, circumstantial appearances that have no bite. And this is a much more relaxed way of being and a way of being that is saturated with empathy and sympathy as the imperative of naturally present compassion, naturally present uncontrived compassion. That is recognized to always already be the case when we see that all of these appearances, whatever they are just circumstantial, spontaneous appearances of a self-aware space that we can call nature's intelligence. It doesn't really have a name. It can't be gathered up into a name, but we could call it nature's intelligence just for ease of communication.
I've heard you talk about cosmology or philosophy in terms of evolution and creation, but the earlier you talked about the cosmology or philosophy of native intelligence, and I've never heard you put native intelligence in maybe the encapsulation of philosophy or cosmology.
If we really want to understand the basis of everything, we can't do it by continually seeking after a fixed reference point, no matter how elaborate or beautiful it is, like creationism or evolutionism, which are very meaningful to many people. But if we really want to know what it is as human beings that can give us a life where we feel at ease, where we just feel comfortable in our own skin, then, you know, it's up to us to find a cosmology and philosophy that'll work for us. Doesn't matter what experts or authorities say. You know, many of these ideas come about just through an individual person with no input from others, and then they're adopted by many other people. And so, and in addition to that, they don't really offer any kind of immediate benefit to anyone without some kind of contrived action on the part of an individual. So maybe through faith in either creationism or evolutionism, one could find some kind of neutralization or comfort level in relation to phenomena, but there'll never be the ability to be completely happy and at ease in all situations and knowing what to do and how to act in all situations. It's impossible that that can come about without a complete understanding of the nature of existence. It just cannot ever come about. It's absolutely impossible. It's a trap, an intellectual trap or an emotional trap of some kind, and certainly as a person who has at one time believed in both of these points of view, fixed reference points of creationism and evolutionism, I see that neither one of them provided any kind of relief that could be counted on to be lifelong. So there was never anything within either of those perspectives where there could be the feeling, just the simple human feeling that everything is okay. Perfect certitude, just that everything is okay, and that really is our nature as human beings. Our nature is this everything is okayness. That's really our nature. And if we never learn about that, which we cannot through intellectual frameworks or emotional frameworks, then we can never feel that ease in just being human. So, you know, it's why not find out in our own experience what's true, what can bring us that, and then look to see if that is a cosmology and philosophy we can count on. When we adopt the perspective of nature's intelligence through growing confidence in our own awareness as the awareness that is inseparable from that space of nature's intelligence, when we gain confidence in that, then our perspective broadens and it becomes more balanced. We can see then that creationism and evolutionism are points of view. They're fixed reference points from the perspective that is beyond those and free of those. And when I say free of them, it means that it can either adopt those and use them in some way or not. But it isn't dependent on those. Nature is not dependent on creationism or evolutionism. It just is as it is. And we can prove that it is as it is in our own experience. We don't need to discount or do away with creationism or evolutionism. We're just saying that they are fixed reference points, that are reference points or phenomenon that appear within nature's intelligence, but they're not the be-all and end-all of everything. That we as human beings have a perspective that's beyond that, where we don't need to be constantly scampering after some kind of idea to make us feel okay. Because in the end, these ideas mostly do not make people feel okay today. Or there will come a point where there will be grasping to try to make these ideas feel one okay. Make these ideas, to have these ideas make one feel okay, but they won't. They simply won't. And that time can come in serious illness or death, either of oneself or someone else. We never know. It can come from an unexpected invasion by another country or terrorist act or accident or whatever it might be. We never know what's going to adventitiously appear. And so, you know, even though science is remarkable and wonderful and doing all kinds of amazing things, there will come a point in one's life where it will not work for you. You're going to die anyway. Guess what? And you're probably going to get sick too. And there won't be anything that can be done about it. And so you see, this is where we'll see that scientific materialism will fail us at some point, even if we deeply believe in it and we're the most brilliant person on earth, winning Nobel Prizes or whatever it might be for our ideas. Ideas cannot support us in many situations. Wisdom is beyond intellectual speculation. The wisdom of awareness is completely beyond intellectual speculation. so we don't want to leave ourselves in the lurch when we reach that moment that we never expected. And we won't leave ourselves in the lurch if we come to see what's real. Now, as I said earlier, nature's intelligence is just a simple form of communicating something that really can't be sufficiently captured in a conceptual framework. And so one person might call it nature's intelligence, but another person would call it something else. Another person may even call it God. But what would God really be? You know, God would be another conceptual framework that is really beyond description. But say we rest it as awareness. One person might call it resting as awareness. Maybe another person will call it resting as God or resting as something else. But it requires awareness to be aware of God. See, we don't have any perception of God or love or any kind of framework without awareness. Awareness is our contact point, so to speak, with the nature of everything. And if we gain confidence in that and then rest as that, then we'll have a very balanced view of everything, whether it's creationism, godism, evolutionism, or whatever it is. We'll just see everything as it is, and that'll be okay. And we won't be extremists. Our nature is not extreme. It's not extreme at all. So the more confident we are in awareness, the less rigid we are about what we expect from other people. We see how everyone can believe whatever they believe just due to belief in whatever is appearing within their own awareness. If they fix in on a certain skill set of reference points and say, this is the way, what I believe, this is my identity, then that'll just be whatever it is. That'll be their perspective. And whether it's balanced or not, there'll be incredible compassion and understanding for whatever it is that person is feeling or doing. And along with that, there will be skillful activities that can be applied to the situation that aren't arbitrary and extreme and based on impulsive ideation or emotionality. So you see, this makes it simple.
Great answer.
Mm-hmm.